We encourage you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. This is another one of those passages my mom and dad made it a priority for their kids to learn. And many of you children might already know the passage that I'm going to preach on this morning. But Proverbs 3 is just a great chapter. I mean, they're all great chapters in God's Word. But Proverbs 3, if you just look at it, you have these commands, these exhortations, this counsel of wisdom. If you look in verse 1, it says, "My son, do not forget my law." I mean, just think about that. "My son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for the length of days and long life and peace that will add to you." It seems like there's a command and then there's a statement of blessing. And a lot of us want blessings, don't we? We say, how can I have a good life? How can I have the favor of man? How can I live life to its fullest? And so often, in regards to that pursuit, we allow our hearts to lead us and not the law of the Lord. And it says here, both those words, it says, "Do not forget my law and let your heart keep my commands." Well, that heart doesn't want to keep our commands. We need to know that about ourselves. But if you're trying to find the pathway of success, we must go to the one who created us, the one who made us with the needs that we have, the one who's equipped us the way he has for that truth. If you look at verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your hearts." Now it's talking about not just God's command, but the truth that's in his commands. God's word is true, and that with his word comes mercy. And it says, bind it around your neck. Bind the fact that we have a mercy. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, as we look at the passage today, and that's where we've gotten to, and you can go through all of Proverbs 3 and see this repetition of, hey, here's some wisdom for you, and here's the benefits of it. We know that we can pursue these things and obey these things, and sometimes that success doesn't come quickly. Sometimes we think of this time on this earth. I was going to bring a rope in here and a spool of rope and just have it, have a kid run around the church as long as it would go, and I'd have the end of the rope, and you'd see this long rope that just would go all over the place and out the door, and if you could think of a rope that never ended. And what we focus on so much is the tip of the rope, the very tip of it, which is our life here on this earth, and say, all my blessings have to happen here. And then you think of the long aspect of eternity and what God promises his people, and the blessings and the riches and the inheritance and the being in the presence of the Lord forever, with those who love him, and there's no tears, and there's no sin, and there's no pain, and there's no discomfort. Why is it that we think so much of this little tip of the rope that is really giving it more credit than it needs? But this life is important. And God says, this is important for your success, your eternal success. So we'll read chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And this is one that y'all probably could say from memory. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Let's pray. Father, we pray that this simple truth, these simple phrases, these four simple phrases that we're going to look at today, that wouldn't just be something we hear and say, that's a cute, quaint verse, but Lord, that they would be the model for our lives. And as we talk about it today, Lord, I pray that you would move in your Holy Spirit in the hearts of your people, in the hearts of those who don't know you, to put their trust in you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an opening scene to a movie that came out in the 90s that Sylvester Stallone is in. And there's these big mountains and rocky, huge mountains out west. And here's Rambo, Rocky, climbing those rocks, free climbing, no rope on him, and he's got his biceps bulging, and he's just conquering these cliffs. And he gets up, as you watch the movie, you're just blown away by the splendor and the danger all around Sylvester Stallone in the movie. His name is Gabe. And he's climbing, and he gets to this little, I guess, this little ledge that he and a friend and this friend's girlfriend are stuck on. And the girl had somehow gotten injured. And, the boy, his friend, had gotten injured and needed to be, they couldn't climb anymore. They needed to be helped to get out of the mountains. And so if you're familiar with this movie, a helicopter comes up there besides the where they're stuck, and they run a line from the helicopter to the cliff, and the injured guy goes first, and he just does it with ease all the way to the helicopter, and he's safe on the helicopter. Well, the girlfriend was not as excited about this, this thrill of going from the cliff to the helicopter, and Sylvester Stallone, Gabe, looks at her and says, "You'll be okay. It's nothing. You're going to be fine." And he speaks words of comfort to her, and she's comforted by his words, and he said, "Hey, just look at me. Don't look down. Look at me as you work your way to the helicopter." And by the time she about makes her move on it, she's saying, "Hey, I'm looking forward to dinner tonight with you." I guess his girlfriend. And so he said, "You'll be fine. You're doing good." And she's going on the rope. And he said, "You're doing great. You're a pro at it. You're doing great." And she's getting closer. And all of a sudden, her belay system starts to give. And the rope starts to unravel. And it then catches on the metal clasp of the thing, catches on the hinge. And Sylvester Stallone, you're sitting there, it's like the beginning of the movie, doing your stuff. Rocky, go get her, Gabe. Do your stuff. And he goes out there and puts his life in danger with ease. And he goes there and he says, "Don't let go, don't let go." And as soon as she lets go, he grabs her with his big arms, his muscular arms, and he grabs a hold of her. And he says to her three times, "You're not going to die. You're not going to die." And she's screaming and he says, "Look at me, you're not going to die." And as he said it the third time, you start to see his change from confidence to seeing her glove slipping off her hand that he held, and he's saying, "You've got to grab me with the other arm, you've got to grab me with the other arm." And you're watching this movie, and he's like, "I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it." It's the first scene of the movie. And she falls to her death. And he's sitting there, Rambo, on this tightrope, and he's sitting there, and she falls screaming to his death, her death. What kind of movie starts like that? I guess movies run out of the good old movies that we grew up on, and shocks us with those things. But it sets forth a principle that we need to all understand, is that our trust cannot be in a man. Our trust, and God's Word makes this clear, cannot be in another human. We so often put our trust in a person. I hope you don't put your trust in me. I hope you don't. I hope you don't put your trust in your spouse. A lot of times I'll see married couples and they just can't be without each other. And that's a good thing. That's awesome. They can't be without each other. And that's wonderful. But you can't put your trust in your spouse. You can love them and you can love being with them and you can love those moments together. But there's going to come a time, maybe for you, where God separates that. We've seen failed marriages. We've seen loved ones die. You can't put your trust in man. In fact, the Bible speaks to that in Psalm 118. It said it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust a man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust a man or to trust a woman. Psalm 118:9 also says, better take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, in leadership. And we know that, don't we? Do you know that? If I ask you the question, who is your trust in, what would you say? Now, Charlie gave us a great illustration of what it looks like to trust in the Lord. And it's a sweet thing when our kids trust in us and jump to us. That's a wonderful thing. But I have, and I will, and I am letting my kids down constantly. But this verse starts with this trust in the Lord. It's not this blind trust. It's not this trust of okay, that was a big word we hear at General Assembly, trust the presbytery. And I'm like, No! I'm not going to trust the Presbyteries. That's why we have review Presbytery records. That's why the Presbytery reviews our sessional meeting. We don't trust in man. We need accountability. I need accountability. It says don't put your trust in other things. It's not this blind trust of you just got to trust, and you hear that sometimes in movies. Just trust and get through it. No, what are you trusting in? We have the exhortation. There's four things we're going to look at today, and it's almost like a math equation. We have the exhortation, trust in the Lord. We have the warning, distrust yourself. And we have the counsel, always acknowledge God. And then you have the equal in the math equation, and that equals He will direct your path, divine direction. Let's start with trust in the Lord. The word trust in Hebrew is batak. Batak, and it means to depend on, to lean on, or to look to Him. One definition is to lie helpless face down, means to trust in. With all thine heart. It's giving us a specific person to trust, and that's the Lord. Now, who is the Lord? We know Lord is Yahweh, the I Am, the great I Am of the Old Testament. We know God the Father is the I Am, but we also know that the Lord comes back very powerfully in the New Testament. There's the prophecy of a coming Lord, a coming Savior, the coming one that will come and take our sins, and Jesus Himself says, I am the Lord, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And so when we talk about trusting the Lord, we're talking about putting our trust in who Jesus Christ is, in who He is, putting trust in His atoning sacrifice on the cross, putting trust in God's only character that has been revealed and fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We're putting trust in God in flesh, right? That's where our trust is. When I talk to you about how do you know you're saved, it's not just about believing in Jesus. It's about I believe in Jesus and I put my trust in Him. Do you know this? Listen to the kids. You know the devil believes in Jesus? Do you know the devil could have done the Apostles' Creed with us? Do you know there are people who say the Apostles' Creed and they don't have their trust in Jesus? They've not surrendered their life to Christ, but they believe those words? Well, I saw it in my own life. I've shared with y'all. I've said the Apostles' Creed. I never questioned it. I always believed it. I learned it from a childhood. I gave it some rational thought. I looked at the Scriptures and never doubted it. But there was a time that I had to put my trust in Jesus. And the proverb, Solomon is saying, trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus Christ. That's ultimately what he's saying. How can you say that, David? Well, I can say that because when Jesus was walking after he resurrected from the dead, no man can do that. After he resurrected from the dead and he's walking on the road to Emmaus, he says, let me show you how the Lord is me. Let me show you in Scripture how the Lord, Yahweh, I Am, is me. In fact, that's why I was crucified, because I said, I am the Lord. And they crucified me because they said, you blaspheme. You say you're God. And I am God. I am risen God in flesh. And so when we talk about trusting the Lord, it's not just believing in Him. It's saying, I put my trust in Him. In fact, it has the add-on of trust Him with all your heart. This is a theme that all throughout Scripture, God says, hey, the biggest commandment is to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I want it all. Jesus doesn't just want your Sundays. He doesn't just want your Sundays and your Wednesday nights. He doesn't want your Sundays, your Tuesday Bible study, the joint session meeting on Wednesday night. He wants it all. He wants it all. And that's what He's going to do in us. That's what He's doing in us, right? Isn't that what He's growing in us as we mature spiritually, where we find more and more stuff that we need to put our trust, put that in the hands of Christ and not in our own strength? Yeah, there's a lot of Christians who walk around and they're can-do Christians, and we kind of admire them. Oh, that person always will do it. I'll do it. I can take care of them. I'll do that. And we admire them. But it's a dangerous way if you rest and trust upon yourself. It leads to ruin if you rest and trust in someone else. I will let you down. One of the biggest griefs of leaving Mount Calvary was this is how I think, and it's not always healthy. I think often of how I let people down. do. It just wears on me. There's not a person at Mount Calvary I didn't let down at some point. There's not one person at Mount Calvary I didn't disappoint, that I didn't neglect. And the same thing will happen here. I will disappoint you at some point. I will. You'll disappoint me at some point. But our trust is not to be in each other. It's wonderful when we can enjoy trusting one another at times, but you can't trust me completely. You have to hold me accountable. You have to pray for me. The Mormons believe Jesus is the Spirit's brother of Satan. That's what the Mormons believe. They ever knock on your door, they believe Jesus is the Spirit brother of Satan and was a man who became a god. That is not biblical. That is not biblical. That Jesus will not save them from their sins. A Jehovah Witness, Jesus is an angel, the Archangel Micah, and he is not God. He's the secondary derivative of God, of a divine being. That Jesus can't save them. The Christian Science, Jesus is a man who demonstrated great character and great ideals, not God. He's not the eternal Son who gave His life. He's just a human who did well in teaching good things. That Jesus won't save them. The Islam believes that Jesus was a prophet and he was superseded by Muhammad. That Jesus won't save them. We put our trust in the fact of what the Bible says about Jesus, is that he is God in flesh that has come to atone and save us from our sins. And that's who we put our trust in. To believe in a different Jesus than what the Bible teaches us is like having a tattooed watch on your wrist. It won't benefit you at all if you have a tattoo of a watch on your wrist. It can't tell time. Maybe if it has a time, it's right two times a day. That watch can't do anything for you. And neither can a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. Can't do anything for you. Can't save you from your sins. And that's why we think so highly of God's Word, because God's Word has revealed to us. There is a theologian who spoke of Jesus, and he spoke so much about how we should delight in who Christ is and the revelation of who Christ is for us believers. And I wonder if you do that. I wonder if you that profess to know Jesus Christ, those of you that are members, you profess to know Jesus, to put your trust in Jesus. Do you view Christ like this? He says his name's John Flavel, talking about the excellency of Jesus Christ. Is Christ's loveliness in his person, in his works and office, causes the believer to cry with delight. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Look on him in what respect or particular you will. Cast your eye upon the lovely object and view him in any way. Turn him in your serious thoughts which way you will. Consider his person, his office, his works, or any other thing belonging to him, and you will find him altogether lovely. Do you think of Christ this way? Is Christ just something you believe in, but you don't know him? No doctrine, he says, is more excellent or necessary to be preached and studied and sung about than Jesus Christ and him crucified. Take away the knowledge of Christ, and Christians would be the most sad and melancholy beings in the world. Again, let Christ but manifest him and dart the beams of his light into their souls. It will make them kiss the stake, sing in the flames, and should in the pangs of death as men that divide the spoil. That's what moved the martyrs to die with delight, is because they knew Christ. We trust Christ because he's true to his word. He's true to every one of his promises. I would love if we had time, and we don't, if we had time just for you to raise your hand and tell me something you love, one of the promises of God you love. Maybe it's the fact that he's promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you put your trust in that? I will work all things together for good. You put your trust in that. You are my treasured possession, and I love you as my own child. The counter of that is trust in the Lord plus distrust yourself. And I hope you know this about yourself. I hope I don't have to give you all these illustrations to say what the Bible makes clear is that you don't trust your heart. But who you are, your being, you don't trust it. If you ever say, oh, this makes me feel happy and this is what I, even if it's contrary to Scripture, it's contradictory to Scripture, you're doing sins like, yeah, but it makes me happy and don't you want me to be happy? Happy will lead you to destruction if it's your heart led and not the Word of God led. Now hear me say that. Kids, I want more dessert. I would love to have more dessert. I would love to have just whipped cream for dinner. That's what your heart wants. It will lead you to great physical problems if you got what your heart wanted. Great physical problem. We see it demonstrated. Distrust your heart. Don't say it makes me feel and this is the way it is. And you can say it in confession. God, I'm sorry I feel this way. I'm sorry I want to lean toward this. That was the struggle with anybody struggled with any sexual perversion, any sexual misrepresentation of what God created is this will make me happier. This will fulfill this need and it'll lead them to despair and destruction. Ask anyone who's failed in that area that belongs to Christ now. Ask anybody who's failed in their purity how much they grieve it and the scars from it. Don't trust your heart. Galatians 6:3 says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. What do we want to do? We want to promote ourselves. We want to fight for ourselves. We won't even hear what the other person has to say if it impedes upon us and our comfort or our rights. Lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Our own understanding will lead us astray. It'll lead us to those things that will destroy us. And he's saying, trust in me. Trust in what I have said. Trust in what I have promised. There's many of us who trust in ourselves. And it's hard for us to admit we're sorry. And that's our wicked heart deceiving us. I believe that the church of Christ suffers more today from trusting in intellect and in wisdom and culture than they do the Word of the Lord. And that's a big danger for the PCA. We're thinkers. We're smarter. That's what leads to pride and arrogance. We know the mysteries. We can connect the dots and solve all the problems. Don't trust in your mind. Trust in the Word of the Lord. Do you know this about yourself? Have you understood that? I mean, kids, if you ever say to you, but this is what I want, to your parents, I hope as you say it, this is what I want. I want to do it this way. I want to stay up late till like 4 o'clock in the morning. I want it. That you realize that you can't trust your heart. It will lead you to paths of destruction. I got to fight for me and my toys and my things. The third part of this math equation is trust in the Lord with all your heart and distrust yourself and acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him means to see God always, to see God in every decision, to see God in every circumstance. That means when you're making a decision, okay, God, what do you have to say about this? I care about what you have to say. Y'all, I'm standing here before you today because of this equation, Proverbs chapter 3. Trusting in the Lord, leaning not on my own understanding. It doesn't sound like an easy thing to uproot your family. It isn't. But God made it clear. As I was trusting the Lord, if you want me here, I want to go where you want me to be. Even if it's hotter. I want to go where, even if it's, if I have to say goodbye to the comforts here and have to develop new comforts in a new place. And I will. I'll find new comforts. I'm going to trust you. Oh, it's too hard. How can I buy a house? I've been living in a parsonage. And how can God provide me a home? Just trust me. Distrust yourself, David. Acknowledge me. That's the thing that I felt like I've done more growing the past 2 years spiritually because of the example of my parents who always would acknowledge Christ in everything. Even in their suffering, they would acknowledge how great Christ is. And you shouldn't say even, say especially in their sufferings. especially in their hurts, especially in their pains. They said, Jesus, you're the best. You're awesome. Acknowledge Him every step of the way. Let your confidence be in His presence continually. I'm telling you, y'all, it works. Doesn't work the same for everybody, but it works. This method, this math thing of trusting in the Lord and leaning not on my understanding, all my ways acknowledging Him, you will be blown away at how He directs your path. And we look, for those of you who've learned this math equation in the Scripture and the Holy Spirit's helped you get it, oh, talk about it. Talk about what God is doing. So how do we do this? Well, prayer. When you trust in the Lord, you got to pray. You're depending upon Him. Okay, God, You're in control. Shut this door. Open this door. Direct my paths. I wish I had time to go through everything, but y'all, Linda and I would have a fear about moving. And that day, as we were seeking the counsel of the Lord, there'd be the perfect email, the perfect call, the perfect conversation. And I'm like, this can't be just coincidental that every time Linda comes in, what are we doing? And all of a sudden there's a phone call. Hey, the Lord really did clear that up. I mean, we could just tell you story after story of where I was saying, that's too big of a hurdle. There's no way there it is. We can do it. He'll direct your path. Prayer. Giving it to the Lord. Saying, God, I don't know. I don't have wisdom in myself. Give me wisdom on these decisions. Search His Word. You can't trust Jesus if you don't know Him. If you don't know what He tells you. There's so many decisions that you could make well if you just knew His Word. If you hid His Word in your heart. There's so many sins that we enter into just oblivious because we don't know His Word. And then you surrender. I'm yours. Where I am, I'm yours. Use me. I mean, as you're trying to figure out the future, just surrender to Him today. I'm just going to love people as Christ has loved me. I'm going to proclaim Christ to my hair cutter, the barber, or whatever. I'm going to proclaim Christ. Lord, give me an opportunity to proclaim Your glory. Give me an opportunity to acknowledge You in all my ways. You surrender to His providence. You rest in the submission. There's no greater, if we think of submission as being lowly, there's no greater joy than submitting to Christ and letting all the weights of all your heart deceptions be released to submit to Christ. And what will happen is you will find yourself making Christ your supreme delight. Your delight in Christ. If you're struggling with anxiety and worry and stress, turn to Christ. If you're not struggling with anxiety and stress, turn to Christ. Let me pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for simple verses, but Lord, it's frustrating that these simple verses are so hard for us to do on a regular basis, and so we ask for the evidence of Your Holy Spirit in our lives to move in us these truths, that we would trust in You with all our heart. And that we would not lean upon our own understanding, but in all our ways we'd acknowledge You. And Father, we'd see You direct our paths, and we'd see You bless it. And Father, we know ultimately You bless things in eternity for all of us, Your people, no matter what the story writes out here on this time on earth. But we ask for encouragement now. Lord, I pray that for the youngest. I pray that for all the way up to the oldest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.